All right, I'm not going to waste a bunch of time to start hour number two because we have a fantastic guest. Number 99, Titans legend Jarrell Casey is here with us on 104.5 The Zone. We're so happy to have him as a part of the show today. The 12th Titan at Nissan Stadium ahead of this playoff game between the Titans and the Bengals is here with us right now. What's going on, Jarrell?
What's up? I'm doing good. Can't complain at all, man. Just living life, being blessed.
No question about it. So, when did they approach you about doing this ahead of the playoff game? Because this has got to be a pretty big deal for you, no?
Definitely. It's huge, you know, to definitely just be able to retire. And they're thinking of me to come back and honor them for one of the biggest games for this franchise. Definitely is huge. It was a little bit earlier in the week, last week, and they reached out and asked if I'd love to be the 12th man. They would love to have me. And it definitely was a no-brainer, you know. Definitely couldn't miss this opportunity. Was already planning on coming to the game already off of GP, so it definitely was great to be able to come back and be able to be a 12th man. So that's definitely even bigger.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool, and I know the fans are excited to see you. I mean, this is home playoff games here in Nashville, Tennessee, the last couple of years.
That, no better.
That almost sounds like a foreign concept after a while, but this is something for somebody like you, Jarrell. I mean, how proud of you are from the way that this organization has kind of come along for all of the great things that you did while you were here to kind of culminate now as the top seed in the AFC.
I love it. You know, just the biggest thing, you know, the last few years I've been there, just starting to be able to get the winning records, getting into the playoff has been big, you know, and these guys have carried the torch and kept it pushing, and they've done it for the last 2 years, getting to the playoffs and making a run in it. So that's the big thing. You know, these guys are now starting to bring that winning tradition around. You know, Vrabel and John has done a good job building a good core over there, getting some good guys who can come in and buy into the system. As you can see this year, they had over, 90-something people come in and play on their roster.
91.
And being in this position is beautiful. So, you know, those guys are doing some great work over there.
So I know you were at the game in L.A. where the Titans kicked the Rams' ass on Sunday Night Football. That game, you talk about what Jeff Simmons has done in his couple of years now that he's been here, DeNico Autry, how much he's helped the rest of the defensive line, and Harold, what have you made of your former teammates this season?
Man, they have been some dogs out there, man. It's been beautiful to watch them. You know, I didn't see no young guys who have been there, and Simmons came in, got to play the year with him, and he already showed he was going to be a beast. That was visual from day one. And so to have somebody like that present to come in and step in, it's beautiful to solidify your middle. And then you had his Landry, someone who's been there for a few years with me. I've seen him work. I've seen how he came in as a rook with the right mindset, straight business. A guy who came in very professional, was ready to work, was ready to learn. When you have guys like that that's young, that leads your group, it just makes the game that much easier for you to coach and make guys around you to fill in and make plays. And so those guys are going at being great leaders for that front four. And as long as they keep carrying that torch, I think Tennessee's going to have a great front and for a long time coming.
Titans legend Jarrell Casey is here with us on 104.5 The Zone. Make sure you get there early because Jarrell is the 12th Titan. He's going to be swinging the sword at midfield before this thing gets officially kicked off between Tennessee and the Cincinnati Bengals. So with that being said, Jarrell, I mean, you are somebody who played here, who had a fantastic career here as an interior defensive lineman. What Jeff is doing reminds me, maybe different styles, maybe different traits, but what Jeff is doing here reminds me a lot of how great you were for the Titans defenses while you were playing. And I was shocked, borderline offended on behalf of the city of Nashville that this man was not elected to the Pro Bowl. What did you make of that?
Unreal. I definitely thought he would have been inside the Pro Bowl. But, you know, this is how the game goes when you're a young guy inside a market that's not as strong. People don't give you that much of a recognition. And, you know, people around the league, you know, you can get the fan votes as he was the number one fan voter, D-tackle. But outside of that, you know, the players and the coaches not giving you the recognition yet. He's going to get there. He's definitely built it, leaving his mark. It just reminded me of my first year going into the Pro Bowl, being snubbed and didn't get in and things like that. It's just part of the game, you know. You earn your stripes. You keep building. At the end of the day, this game is not made for just Pro Bowl. You're trying to build a legacy for time coming and being consistent is going to make him be there for years after years. So he might even get this year, but hey, 10 years from down the line, he'd be a 10-time Pro Bowler. Who knows?
We will certainly see. Titans legend Jarrell Casey is here with us on 104.5 The Zone. Jarrell, you bring up the market and playing in Nashville and how that can be, you know, underrated, basically, from a standpoint of the people who decide things like this. There is precious little Titans. We're local, all right? So we talk about, I've got a three-hour radio show. I'm talking about the Titans for basically two hours and 45 minutes today. That's what I got on the docket. But I turn on SportsCenter, I don't see Titans talk. We've got friends who come on from the NFL Network. They're talking about what the Dallas Cowboys are doing in the offseason. And I was reading this article today, Jarrell. Nashville's the biggest media market left in the AFC at this point. It's bigger than Kansas City. It's bigger than Cincinnati. And it's bigger than Buffalo, New York. Why are the Titans so disrespected?
Why are we disrespected?
Yes.
Only history tells itself. Only history can tell itself. That's the only reason why. You know, at the end of the day, this game is about winning. You got to get there. You got to be able to prove that you deserve to be there. And, you know, we're starting to leave that mark. We're starting to get there. We're starting to build that. But it's going to take time. And that's what this game is about. Being patient, leaving your mark on the game, being consistent. And I think for the last 3 years, Tennessee has been consistent. They're leaving that mark, and it's only going to be time that we're going to start getting that respect after we go and do our thing this year. God's willing.
Jarrell Casey is here with us on 104.5 The Zone. The opponent this weekend, the Cincinnati Bengals, Jarrell, I don't know how much of you or how much of them you have seen, but Joe Burrow is definitely a young stud quarterback. Their offensive line isn't great. Quentin Spain, who played here for a couple years, is a part of that group, but they've definitely struggled as far as protection is concerned. What stands out to you about this matchup?
It's definitely going to be a great fight. I think, you know, the offense can be deadly with that quarterback and wide receiver duel. I think, you know, Joe Mixon get in there and start getting his thing together. They definitely could do their thing, you know. But there's a strong defense who's well mind-sounded, no game plan, going to get after you up front, can cover on the back end. When you have an all-around defense like that, you know, you got to have an all-complete offense. And I think that's where we get the upper hand at. But at the end of the day, it's going to come down to all three phases. How well our special teams do, how well our defense do, and also how well the offense do. As long as everybody come out prepared and clicking on all cylinders, I don't see how we could be slowed down.
Well, it's going to be interesting because Derrick Henry, who hasn't played since October at this point, is expected to play in this game. Jarrell, you've seen him since he was drafted here, the player that he's become. It seemed like he was en route to do something really, really special before that foot injury kind of, you know, I mean, did shut him down for the rest of the regular season. How impressed are you with just the player that Derrick has become? Because, you know, being behind DeMarco Murray in those early years, it seemed like legitimate adversity for him that he had to work through, and I think he's done a spectacular job, no?
Definitely. He's done an amazing job. And that's just like to go again, back to the patience. You know, this game is about patience, waiting your time, knowing when it's time to explode. And, yeah, it's frustrating being a first-round draft pick and not getting the rest you feel you should get. But, you know, he was patient. He kept his mind to the grind. He didn't let it get to his head. He didn't pout about it. He fought through it. And when it was his opportunity, he took advantage of it. And that guy set records and done unbelievable things. And he kept his mind sane. And that's the biggest thing you can ask for from a young running back as great as him, is keeping his mind sane and keeping his body fresh as possible to go out there and keep putting up numbers. As we know, when Derrick Henry is healthy, he's going to be a problem. So it's great to have him back.
We're getting a lot of – we've got the show live stream, so we got a live YouTube chat going. People are tweeting us. The Tennessee Titans would not
– What's up? Tighten up, baby.
Hey, why don't you, what is your message to Titans fans this weekend, Jarrell? Because I'm getting tweets like the Tennessee Titans would not be where they are this weekend without Jarrell Casey. You are such a foundational piece of where this franchise is and has been, Jarrell. What would you like to say to the fans?
I really appreciate that, but it's not about me. You know, these guys out there putting that work in, these guys is doing it with a whole group of missing pieces, and that's what this game is about. We need y'all to bring y'all juice this week, bring that energy, bring that fire, put some fire under y'all tails and let's get going. These guys are ready to roll, and I know they're going to be at it. They're going to be hitting guys in the mouth, flying around, and, you know, Vrabel's going to have those guys roll. So let's just make sure everybody's bringing that juice, Get the crowd rocking. I want to hear vibrations. I want to feel it underneath my feet. I want to feel that stadium rocking. That's what game playoff environment is about. Let's make sure we bring that to Tennessee.
It's certainly going to be a fantastic environment at Nissan Stadium. A toe tag, body bag celebration before you
all
stick the
way.
Are you doing it before you stick the sword in the ground? What's the form? What's that going to look like?
You know, I can't walk off the field without a body bag. It's definitely going down.
Hey, Jarrell, it's been a pleasure to chat with you, buddy. I hope you enjoy the game. I'll probably see you out there Saturday, and thanks for stopping by. I know the fans really appreciate it.
Appreciate y'all for having me. Appreciate it.
That's Jarrell Casey, Titans legend, there with us on 104.5 The Zone. Man, it's good to talk to that guy. We've got a lot of responses on social media about this, and certainly, so Robert Lawrence was the person who sent us that tweet about the Titans not being where they are without Jarrell Casey as a franchise, and that is so, I feel that in my soul. Jarrell, when you talk about the guys who helped keep this thing afloat for all the bad football that there was between, you know, different eras of Titans football, different regimes, before you finally got to the place where you have been in the last 4 years under John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, Jarrell Casey was one of those stabilizing forces like we talked about with Ryan Tannehill. So we'll get into the conversation because the phone lines are still loaded. People want to weigh in on the Titans quarterback. We'll do that coming up next. If you want to react to that Jarrell Casey interview, he's always great. I miss having that guy in the locker room, man. Man, I miss being in locker rooms. I haven't been in a locker room in 2 years, Lucas. Isn't that crazy that is?
I think the last time I asked a Titans player a question in a presser was Jarrell Casey.
I mean, I miss the transparency from Jarrell. Your phone call's coming up next. We'll get into it. 615-737-1045. That's the number. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. Just make money? Not the other part? What are you doing back there? Is this a censored version? Welcome back on 104.5 The Zone. Speaking of making money or rather losing it, Bruce Arians just got fined $50K. Oh, I didn't see this. This is after, I guess, I turned off that playoff game between the Bucks and the Eagles. He was seen swiping at a Bucks player. I don't know what constitutes swiping. Did he swing on him? Was it open-handed? What did it look like? Andrew Adams saying after the game he was attempting to make sure Adams didn't pull players from the fine. So apparently he threw a bow that caught Andrew Adams. I've never heard of that player. I assume he's a special team.
One of his players.
Fine $50,000 for that. Tough scene. Going to get to the dumbest thing in sports here in just a second, but the lines are loaded and you guys have been waiting patiently. So let's start with Darrington has been waiting the longest, so we'll go to him first. What's up, my dude?
I'm going to make this real, real quick. Like, hey, listen, Pete, when you call in, this is not a therapy session. Make this stuff quick. I almost went to sleep on some of y'all talking. Well, they complained and crying. 15 seconds or better. We ain't got time for this. I don't cut on the radio show listening to y'all complain. I cut on to listen to Buck give his opinion about stuff, even though he could be wrong. And if you need your weather check, ask Brett Doherty on 3HL. At him on Twitter, at Brett Doherty. Second of all, people, for the 15 to 16 people that like the chat, y'all need something from the store. Because y'all other trifling folks, quit coming here not liking it. Simple. Point blank, period. All right, I'm done. Thanks. Have a good one.
That's all. Just a PSA. Okay, Darrington. I thought he was going to give us some Ryan Tannehill smoke. So Darrington is just advising our listeners at this point. All right, let's go to, looks like John in Clarksville is up next on 104.5 The Zone. What's up, John?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well.
Hey, this is really, really exciting weekend here. And, just my observation on Ryan Tannehill. He seems like he's really more focused. He's really tuned in. I didn't see that in Miami. I think he was all over the place, and that was just not good coaching. I think this coaching staff and Tannehill are a real good match, and that's why I think they'll win it. They're going to go to the Super Bowl. And that defense is there's something else. That's all I got.
I think a lot of good points there, John. The Ryan Tannehill Miami experience, it seems like so far removed. We don't even talk about Tannehill in Miami anymore because it's so night and day difference, right? Adam Gase being a big problem there in Miami, the lack of talent in Miami. They never had an offensive line in front of Tannehill, which is crazy because it's the exact same problem that they've had with Tua and that they had with Ryan Fitzpatrick before that. Like, it's been an outright disaster at the offensive line position. But as far as his focus is concerned, you know, Ryan Tannehill, I think he's been steady all year long. That's like somebody asked him last week in our, I think it was last week in our press conferences with him about, you know, does he feel like he's gotten his mojo back? And he gave a response like, you know, contrary to popular belief, I never felt like I lost it. He's been super steady, stabilizing forces, Ryan Tannehill. And I think a lot of the reason for their success and sustained success, despite everything basically burning around them throughout the middle part of the regular season, you can attribute to Ryan Tannehill. And also, as the caller brought up, that pass rush is absolutely nasty. Here was Ryan Tannehill speaking to the media yesterday, talking about Zach Taylor, who he worked with in college at Texas A&M.
No, I'm so happy for Zach. Just a great guy, a great man, and enjoyed my time with him. He helped me out so much early in my career. You know, my relationship started with him back at A&M. You know, he was helping out with the tight ends, and then obviously my first few years in Miami being the quarterback coach. So I spent a lot of time with him. Love him as a man, and he's a heck of a football coach. So, you know, really happy with his success. You know, just hopefully, you know, we can come out on top this week.
He said today that he roots for you all year, but obviously not this Saturday. Kind of the same for you?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Always pulling for Zach and a lot of those guys on that staff that I have the relationships with. Good people, good coaches. So you pull for them as long as it's not against us.
Ryan Tannehill speaking with the media yesterday. You can interact with the show on Zone TV, by the way. Monsoon Monahan writes us on the YouTube chat. Buck, you don't think of Miami Tannehill, but literally everyone else does. It's crazy and not fair. I don't know. Is that, I mean, maybe we're just in our own echo chamber here in Nashville, but I feel like we don't talk about Miami Tannehill anymore. Just Titans media doesn't really. Maybe it's something, maybe you turn on Get Up or, you know, First Take or whatever the daytime television programming on the NFL is on that particular day. And maybe that's brought up as part of the conversation, just like the whole wide receiver thing with Tannehill. But I don't feel like we give that much credence because it doesn't really matter here. It's a totally different scenario, totally different situation. We got Levi in Lexington up next. What's up, Levi?
What's going on, Buck?
Well, you know.
Oh, I'll tell you what, if that conversation with Drill Casey and that quote yesterday, ride together, die together, bad boys for life, don't get you fired up for this weekend, I don't know what will.
Between Jarrell Casey and Sue Ann, baby, you got a fire lit under your ass, huh?
Hey, that's right. That tells you to tighten up right there. I don't know what else will. But I like Tannehill going forward, you know, with us this season. I don't know. I mean, yeah, you can make anything for another quarterback or that's still in it. But I still like Tannehill. You know, he's great with this offense, but that's all I got. I appreciate your call.
Thanks very much for the call, Levi. 615-737-1045. Just a heads up, we're getting ready to do the dumbest thing in sports here in just a minute if you want to go ahead and get in early on that. His point about Ryan Tannehill and the Titans offense, because, you know, a lot of conversation had around, well, what would Tom Brady be able to do with the Titans? And I would say to you that the Bucs roster and the Titans roster are two completely different night and day things. Now, I think the beauty of what the Bucs did around Tom Brady is, one, they figured out how to make the salary cap just not matter for the years while Brady is on their team, because they're going to sell out to win the Super Bowl. Respect. But also, the thing about the Bucs when they won it last year and when they were healthy this year is they have the personnel on offense to win so many different ways. It's not necessarily the case here in Tennessee. You've got one kind of ball that you're going to play. You're going to run the damn ball. You're going to play action pass. You are going to play great to solid to great defense, and that's basically the formula for success, and just don't turn the ball over or else you're banged, which is the case for most NFL teams. So Titans and Bucks are different in that regard as far as the eight remaining quarterbacks and how many you would take over Tannehill. I would certainly, you know, if you're just going off talent at that position, regardless of their situation, then yeah, you're going to say the greatest of all time in Brady, the MVP probably again in Aaron Rodgers coming up again this season, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, who are super freaks, but you can't do it that way. You can't do the analysis and say, all right, give me this quarterback regardless of situation. Because the situation matters, as you've just seen it play out for Ryan Tannehill here in Tennessee. Go to Daryl. Daryl or Darrell? I'm not sure. Either way, he's in Nashville. He's up next. What's up?
What's up, man? It's pronounced Daryl, but
I got you.
I understand what you said about the factors that go into football and all that, but back to the question that was at hand.
Yes.
What quarterback would you take over Ryan Tannehill? To me, Ryan Tannehill is like seventh or eighth. I would say you know the four with Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes. I would take Joe Burrow. I would take Stafford. He's right there neck and neck with Garoppolo. And going back to the Titans all together, that's the only thing that's really been holding them back for years, because I've been here watching football for decades. The only thing that's holding the Titans back is they've never had an elite quarterback. McNair was a good quarterback, but he was tough and he did what he needed to do.
Sure.
But other than that, they've had a good running back. They've had great defenses. The only thing that's holding the Titans back from winning the championship, and that is the goal, not to get to the playoff, not to be the number one seed, not to have home field advantage. The actual goal is to win a Super Bowl, which the Titans has zero. And that's because they haven't had an elite quarterback. I sit back and I hear your comment.
I appreciate the call. Here's what I'll say, and then we'll get to the dumbest thing in sports this week. By that measure, Josh Allen hasn't won a Super Bowl. When's the last time? Have the Buffalo Bills won a Super Bowl? Lucas, can you look that up for me? I don't know the answer to that question. If they have, I don't think they have.
They have not.
Are you saying that very confidently?
I am saying that confidently without looking it up.
Okay, very good. I know they have been to Super Bowls. I know that they have.
Four straight.
Right. The four falls of Buffalo is a whole 30 for 30. By that logic, you know, you're talking about Mahomes of the eight quarterbacks, Daryl. You're talking about Mahomes, Brady, and Rodgers. Those are the guys that have won the Super Bowls. So if you're talking about that being the classification, I don't necessarily understand the logic. Now, I understand superior talent. I understand the promise of Joe Burrow. But by that logic, that doesn't make sense to me. There's plenty of franchises. The Buccaneers just got a Super Bowl because they got Tom Brady. There's a lot of different franchises that have suffered without the kind of quarterback play that you're talking about and not won Super Bowls. Does that mean that you would take this quarterback over, or that you would not take this quarterback over any of the other players in the field outside of Jimmy G? Garoppolo's been in a Super Bowl. By your logic, Daryl, Garoppolo should be ahead of Tannehill. So I would say that there's some flaws in that. I understand what he's saying, but I do believe that to be flawed. All right, give me the music. Dumbest thing in sports.
Let's be honest. You've already seen something this week that made you say,
what the f*** is this?
That's bullshit.
What the hell? Give me some warning.
Something so mind-numbingly idiotic that you just want to get it off your chest.
Dumber than a second coat of paint.
Some idiot.
You are really dumb. For real.
It's the dumbest thing in sports this week on the Buck Rising Show.
Load them up. 615-737-1045. It's a Wednesday. It means it's time for the dumbest thing in sports this week. Who made you sad? Who made you put your head in your hands and just shake uncontrollably? I've got a good nominee. I think the nominee that I'm bringing to the table today, there's a lot of good ones. I imagine Mike McCarthy and the Dallas Cowboys are going to make an appearance. I imagine Dak Prescott is going to make an appearance. I imagine there's going to be a lot of things from this weekend in football that will be by the way, speaking of the dumbest thing in sports, Will Compton just texted me and said that he's at Scoreboard. I told him tomorrow. This idiot. Will Compton's the dumbest thing in sports this week. That's outstanding. 615-737-1045. Will Compton is not going to be my nominee, although that's a good one. That's unfortunate. Make sure you give him a plug there, Will. That's great. We're going to be out at Scoreboard Bar and Grill tomorrow, by the way, doing the show with Will Compton, assuming that he shows up again. We will find out if he's willing to make that trek twice. But come join us if you want to. My dumbest thing in sports this week, it's Darren Revelle. Now, let me set the scene for you before we play this audio. This is a situation for Darren Revelle where he got on social media. Now, I was off on Monday. Otherwise, we would have done this on Monday. Darren Revelle gets on social media and somehow on Martin Luther King Day finds ways to make Martin Luther King Day about Darren Revelle. How? How could this possibly be so? He puts out a tweet that says he's complaining about NIL deals. He's talking about, he's tweeting about the announcement for the Miami Hurricanes. He's saying that in a free market, the day college football players could get money for name, image, and likeness, you know, the day image, name, image, and likeness became the free market was on Martin Luther King Day. And then he starts to get criticized about this. He goes on to say basically that, that Darren Revelle, that he's basically saying players who are generating millions of dollars for a free and equitable labor market in college football, you know, it's wrong. And that on Martin Luther King Day, the idea that this would happen is particularly offensive. So Darren Revelle immediately starts getting dragged through these social media streets for basically accusations of racism. And Darren Revelle logs into a Miami Hurricanes Twitter space. Now, if you don't know, I'm not trying to alienate a part of our audience who doesn't know what a Twitter space is. But if you're unfamiliar, Twitter has a function now where you, if you have a Twitter profile, you can start a conversation, a space. Whether you're a Titans fan, you can jump in on a Bengals fan's Twitter space. You can argue back and forth. There's no FCC. It's like golden age sports talk radio because they do I see them all the time after games and they're just purely reactionary. So he jumps in this Miami Hurricanes Twitter space while they're talking about NIL deals. And Darren Revelle wants to defend himself against accusations of racism when really Darren Revelle is just super selfish and the biggest narcissist in the history of time. Listen to this audio.
Explain it to the fan base so everybody can get on the same page.
Sure, I have over 9 MLK signed items. I am a humongous fan of what he's done, and over the last 7 years, I've collected a lot of things. It's not only MLK; it's a lot of Black history. I own a Rosa Parks signed NAACP card. So it was pretty shocking today how I was called racist when I am a student and lover of Black history. And it was I never expected the reaction that I got today. I'm sorry if people think that a white man can't enjoy Black history. I'm sorry. I really am. I'm sorry if people think that a white man can't love Martin Luther King. But to me, that seems pretty counterintuitive. You got me?
Yeah.
Darren Revelle is out here trying to justify him making Martin Luther King Day about himself by the fact that he's got a signed Rosa Parks I'm going to botch the acronym.
NAACP.
NAACP. Thank you.
Yeah, I have more civil rights memorabilia than you is an odd flex.
I have more Martin Luther King signed memorabilia. He said at least 9 pieces. Darren Revelle, what the hell are you doing? You're allowed to appreciate Black history and culture. He said, can you play the part for me again where he says, big fan of Martin Luther King? It's a ridiculous statement. I mean, not a ridiculous statement, but just what a weird thing to say. Yeah, big fan of the guy who helped get Black Americans out of oppression or helped start the process of getting Black Americans out of oppression. Yeah, big fan of that guy. I've got my Rosa Parks signed trading card sitting at home in front of me. So you
signed items. I am a humongous fan of what he's done.
It's such a weird thing to say.
Big fan of his work. Like, yeah.
Huge fan of his work. Yeah, us too. You know, not a fan of racism, Darren. Thank you for your contribution to society today. Darren Revelle making MLK Day about himself is the dumbest thing in sports this week. Lucas, give me yours, and then we'll get some calls on it.
So I got tagged in this tweet from the Vanderbilt Provost Office, at VU underscore Provost. It's kind of an extension of my dumbest thing in sports from last week, which was, of course, that Vanderbilt not allowing students to attend basketball games in the student section in the name of safety, and then turning around and selling those tickets at a very high price to whatever fan wants to buy them. I was at the game last night, Tennessee's win against Vanderbilt, and the student section was a little bit of black, a little bit of orange, wasn't making a ton of noise, but either way, it wasn't students. I'd say the crowd was about 60-40 in favor of Vanderbilt. It felt a little bit like a neutral atmosphere, which is what you would expect in a Tennessee-Vanderbilt game in Nashville, but they didn't have that extra pop in the student section to kind of push the home court advantage over the edge. It just wasn't really there. This tweet from the VU Provost Office: to our incredible Vanderbilt men's basketball and Vanderbilt women's basketball student athletes, coaches, and staff, the Vanderbilt University community is excited to virtually cheer you on during our Commodore Care period, and we look forward to supporting you in person again soon. With a flyer on Twitter celebrating Virtual Fan Week, where you can join Vanderbilt Athletics for a special halftime trivia Zoom on Tuesday night featuring premier season giveaways. So everybody log into the Zoom, watch the game, and let's virtually cheer on our Commodores while Tennessee fans buy up all your tickets for $200 a pop.
Tennessee, that was just terrible basketball again yesterday.
Yeah, it was rough.
God.
It was rough to watch.
God. So bad. All right. 615-737-1045. You've heard our nominees. Mine is Darren Revelle, the preeminent sports business reporter in the country, making Martin Luther King Day about himself because he's got more signed Martin Luther King memorabilia than you do, so he couldn't possibly be racist. And Lucas, the Vanderbilt administration. 615-737-1045. Tell us what the dumbest thing in sports this week is coming up next. I don't think we've lost you just yet. Darren Revelle sure as hell lost me. We're doing the dumbest thing in sports this week. Load them up. 615-737-1045. That's the number. Who you got? Mine is Darren Revelle making Martin Luther King Day about himself. Outstanding. Lucas, the Vanderbilt administration. He was in attendance of Tennessee's win over Vandy yesterday and the ridiculous virtual cheering section that the Commodore's administration tried to offer, or did offer, the Vandy students. Just a terrible, terrible idea. Nathan is in Nashville with the dumbest thing in sports. What you got for me, Nathan?
Yeah, I want to say that my dumbest moment in sports today, this week, was Dak Prescott taking out running with 14 seconds left on the clock.
Man, help me understand that, Nathan. I watched that and thought I was like, I thought there was something like that I missed on TV. I didn't understand what he was doing.
I have no idea. I mean, I'm not a Dallas fan. I used to be a Dallas fan before the Titans came to Tennessee. But, I mean, that was just the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He didn't give him a chance to even, you know, I don't get it. I don't know why. I still can't understand why he did that.
I mean, there's a ton of things I don't understand why Dak did what he did on Sunday. But, you know, talking about with 14 seconds left on the clock, you know, he has the opportunity to get down, to get the ball spotted, to not bleed additional time off the clock and help his football team. Doesn't do that. He gets to the line. He doesn't know the rule about the ball needs to be spotted by the official. So it kills even more time, runs time off the clock at the end while he's desperately trying to spike it. It was an outright embarrassment what Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy did on Sunday with the Dallas Cowboys against the San Francisco 49ers, because Jimmy G tried to give him that game. 615-737-1045. What's the dumbest thing in sports this week? 615-737-1045. That's how you chime in. He's Dak Prescott, by the way, also in the news right now because he had to put out a public apology. I'm looking at this right now on ESPN. He apologized via Twitter yesterday for his post-game comments regarding fans throwing bottles and debris at officials after Sunday's wild card loss. He was asked about this post-game And he said, well, one, he was asked about people. They weren't just throwing things at the official. They were throwing things at the Cowboys players. Because, of course, I mean, you know, I'm not advocating that people throw things on the field. The Tennessee thing, we've been through it. We've talked about it with, I know, Georgia fans were throwing things on the field before they ended up winning that game in the National. In fact, they were throwing things from, like, the upper deck. Like, they were straight up launching stuff. Cowboys fans throwing stuff on the field. Like, this happens across sports. And you know what I'm tired of? I'm tired, and I love Brent Daugherty. Will Bowling, meh. No, I'm kidding. But every time a Tennessee fan sees people throwing stuff on the field, immediately the tweet, and it's red meat for the fan base.
It's a trigger, isn't it?
It's a trigger.
That, and along with, like, Greg Schiano, like, there's a long list of triggers for Tennessee fans when they see something on social media.
So, you know, Brent and Will being Vols fans, and they're not the only ones that have done this, but they get on Twitter immediately, I thought Tennessee fans were the only ones to throw things on the field. And then, you know, everybody, it's all the free likes, and, you know, people love it. You know, yeah, you know, Tennessee fans, they get a bad rap, blah, blah, blah. Just shut up, you're fine.
As a Tennessee alum, I will say the difference was in Knoxville, the game was stopped for like 25 minutes.
Yeah, there is that. There
it is. Does happen everywhere. I thought the uproar was overblown, but it did stop the game for 20
those
minutes.
Tweets kill me. I thought Tennessee fans were the only people that throw stuff on the field. Lucas, what are people saying is the dumbest thing in sports this week?
Olivia says people not thinking that the Titans are going to win the Super Bowl is the dumbest thing in sports this week.
Okay.
Sam says Bengals fans thinking this is the same Titans team as last year. I did see our guy, Mike Miracles, Mike Herndon, formerly of Broadway Sports, retired, not retired, Titans analyst.
He's tweeting more than he was writing in retirement. And by the way, he's done like three straight football and other F words podcasts. Mike is not retired. No. He's thirsty to get back in on the action.
And tweeting at Bengals fans that are speculating that this is pretty much the same Titans defense as last year, right? Burrow diced them up pretty good. How hard can it be?
Well, I mean, Aaron Schatz might agree with them.
If you just take out the injuries and all the new personnel that they have.
And six new starters. And
if you take all that stuff out, then yeah, by DVOA, they're the worst defense in the history of football.
Do you know that game... We don't have the clip of Mike Vrabel talking about that game yesterday, do we? That's short notice for me to ask you. That's not fair. Because he said basically it'll make you puke to watch that game back. You know why? You know why? Because do you remember who was playing in that game? This was the game. This is when the ultimatum was made. All right? This was the moment. It was a November game. Jonathan Joseph, Titans legend, and Vic Beasley, Titans legend, were starting for the Tennessee Titans at the time, and those two, along with Jadeveon Clowney, looked utterly inept against the Bengals, particularly on third down. Listen to Mike Vrabel talk about that Bengals game last year.
Enough to make you puke. I mean, we could watch it, but it wasn't very good. I mean, we just, you know, we have to be better in all three phases. But I think you look at it. I mean, you have to watch. Conceptually, I think it's, you know, there's some similarities. You know, things that we'll have to do much, much better.
Mike Vrabel, the film from the Bengals game last year, enough to make you puke.
Oh, God. It's enough to make you puke. I mean, we could watch it.
Oh, God.
PTSD.
Yeah, he felt the same way you did. All right, when we come back, I'm going to tell you why the Titans' analysis of it being a small media market, that's why they're not getting enough love on national television. I'm going to tell you why that's flat out wrong. Coming up next.